Hey guys, it's us and Neil.
And Neil's here.
Hi. We'll be in London November 17th. Neil won't be with us. And we'll also be in New York December 2nd, which first, Neil will not be at either.
December 1st.
Or the 2nd.
We'll be in New York December 2nd, but the show is December 1st.
NewRoyMall.com. Get your tickets. It says the dates there.
DM me. Let me know how it is.
NewRoyMall.
I walked in the crib, got two kids and my baby mama late.
We're sitting here with the
awesome,
the talented, the funny, the legend, Neil Brennan. Thank you for joining us,
guys.
Yes,
great to be here.
Give us some of your credits
and talk about yourself. Listen. This is what we're here about. We're here for you to just talk about yourself, Neil.
What do you want to know? I was curious as to what you know. What I really want to know. I'm sure you've got 10 things you really want to know.
Who's your favorite MC of all time?
Hip hop.
Yeah.
Or the comedy show. My favorite MC at the comedy show would be Artie.
Okay.
Artie Fuqua.
Sober Artie or?
Well, you know what?
Which
I would actually say my favorite MC at the show is Keith Robinson. Because you could see him forget that he was bringing you up. he would go, give it up. And then it was like he doesn't know
who just said Kevin Hart.
Yeah, he's lost. Exactly.
Yeah.
My favorite hip hop MC.
Yeah.
So look, that's a great Andre 2000, bro.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Like Kanye, I could make an argument that Kanye is the greatest hip hop contributor.
Okay.
Across the board.
I probably wouldn't argue.
Did more than anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Producing rap, but maybe he didn't write it. I don't give a shit. But Shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Clothes, yeah. Like he
greatest producer of all time,
probably. Yeah.
What was
even
that?
Though it started becoming like he would bring out other people, and then I hear he like it's a sort of a group dynamic.
I hear he's got like a full cult thing going now. He's everybody that's with him is not allowed to eat with utensils. Everybody has to eat with their hands.
Swag,
and we're all black.
I mean, I'm just really interested in his views on Israel and Palestine at this point.
Yeah,
who do you guys got, by the way? I'm doing the parlay.
It's
I got
really
Ukraine
really
and I got
fight.
Hamas.
I'm doing the parlay.
Is this on DraftKings?
How many points is Palestine
I'm
getting?
I'm on DraftKings. Enter promo code Neil. Enter promo code don't.
Take the under on Hamas.
How many points is Hamas getting, though? Before I go
depends.
On this parlay.
At colleges, they're getting a lot.
Yeah.
At American college.
Liberal arts school.
Yeah, they're getting.
It's also
it's a
rough,
blowout.
You know, when the refs are in on it. So
So that would be, I would go Andre and or Kanye. Jay-Z is pretty good. Yeah, there's a lot of guys that
there's
are
a few
good.
Guys up there.
What was that era like in New York in the early 2000s? Black Star, Kanye in New York at that time. Just that come up, which I guess
I was very tired all the time. Like I was so from doing the TV show, like just exhausted all the time. But everybody was excited, felt like something was going to happen, and it kind of did.
Yeah.
Amir Questlove always says that the Dave's block party thing was like the end of that era, and then Kanye was just like, all right, well, see you guys,
right?
Yeah, I mean, he just became a superstar. He was so much. A part of that backpack era and was leading the charge. And then once he became Jesus Walked happen.
Yeah.
Did boom bap matter?
No. Well, yeah. Or the neo soul or whatever. Yeah. So yeah. Like, so it was, I was tired. So I don't know what it was like other than Mos Def and Quali did a show the night before Chappelle's show aired.
Mm-hmm.
And a kid said to Dave, what are you going to do? You're too black for white people and too white for black people. Mm. It was just like.
And too straight for gay people.
Yeah, it was just like, okay, yeah. Thanks for the support.
So the pilot airs tomorrow.
Yeah, no.
My career is on the line tomorrow.
Yeah. Do you guys feel yourselves aging out of it at all?
Hip hop?
Yeah.
100%.
Yes.
Rory that all the time.
Yeah. So you, if you're him, how do you do it? And. It's like mature hip hop. It's like Jay-Z made a mature hip hop album, which was like, I like parts of it. I would argue I'd rather him be a dirtbag. Like I want
like
my
dirtbag Hov.
Yeah, I just want my hip hop artist to just be dirtbag.
Yeah.
I mean, like I always said they should put their money in a trust. And you get it after five albums. But until
so
then,
you can talk about the struggle the entire time.
Until then, you got to keep selling dope.
Yeah.
And you got to live on couches.
Yeah.
And you're a dirtbag. Yeah. We got your money. You'll get it.
You'll get it.
But give away the album.
That's not a bad idea.
And I mean, I guess that's kind of the catch 22 of hip hop because it's relevant, it's because it stays young. Like it is No Country for Old Men with that genre.
It's just dirtbag.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, hey, what kind of syrup are you gonna overdose on, or like just it's all or Xanax or whatever their take, whatever the thing is, you want them to be that. And like, yeah, get a fucking face tattoo. Yeah, get a diamond in your forehead.
Yeah.
Please. That's a sign of true artistry.
Yeah. But, and you can't please any hip hop fan too, because you know, Drake's last album, myself included, was like, damn, kind of wish we got more of a mature Drake.
Well, that's what kind of made because I watched it and I was like, well, the when I watch you guys, I think, you're younger than me. So I'm from the time before the internet. I did stuff before the internet. So
how old are you?
We don't talk about it.
Well,
look at day over 25.
I mean, guys, it's holding together. So much surgery. You wouldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I've had to re-break my nose several times. they charge me $3,500.
She just ate a woman.
That's what I'm saying. So where you guys are like reviewing albums, everyone's a critic now.
Yeah. The critics are
there's
critics.
Something that's like not fun. It would be significantly less fun to me if no one like, yo, that shit was mid. Like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Whoever you are. Like, unless you can do it, because the thing people don't realize is like critics were bitches.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No one liked critics.
Right.
Like, no artist liked critics. Yeah. And so now everyone sees it as a way to kind of get in, which is aggravating.
The fans used to hate the media and the journalists.
Yeah.
Now every fan is a quote-unquote journalist.
Yes.
They're who they hate.
Yeah. It's like people don't like bullies until they get a shot.
How many arguments did you get into for critiquing music when you were at The Source?
I was there for a week. I was just there for... I wasn't really there. I was just like, there was a comedy issue. So
how many mics did you give Benzino's album?
I'm not getting into that.
That's why you was fired.
Yeah.
But I pulled back from reviewing a lot of stuff because I feel like the wrong critic. Like, I don't eat seafood. I'm not going to go do a review on a fish dish. So there's albums our listeners want us to review. And I'm like, that music isn't for me. So I'm going to give it the wrong review. I'm not the person it was intended for.
Do you think how much of the podcast is people like, what do they want from you guys?
They don't know.
They truly don't. Changes. You've done
we give them exactly what they want, and then that next day
they didn't like it.
Yeah, we suck.
Yeah.
Reddit is the scariest place, I think, on earth.
Yeah, you can't go.
I tell them all the time, don't go. Why are you there? Why are you going there?
Yeah, I mean, if you have a girl, you don't really need to be on any kind of social media. I love Reddit I don't ever type my name in. So I have my little categories and whatever. But social media is like, what, I have so many words blocked. People can't even say anything.
What are your forums of choice on Reddit?
And
great question. Guy on the side.
Scott here.
Scott. I like Scott. On Inside the NBA when they identify themselves when they're doing the interview, like, hey, what's up with Shaq? Yeah, we knew it was you, Shaq. No one needs you to identify yourself.
I had my eyes closed and I knew it was
my forums are, I'm not gonna tell you that. That's not your business. Yeah. what kind of sucker do you think I am?
Well, when did you start blocking words? When did you get into
probably
that?
Probably 5 years ago.
Did it like affect you to some degree?
Or I had Sarah Silverman on my podcast the other day and posted a clip on Instagram and posted on YouTube and just blocked like Hamas, Gaza, Israel, like literally just like I could see where it was going.
Was Sarah offended?
She don't know. No one knows. That's the thing is no one knows that it's blocked, but now it's blocked forever. So you'll never be able to talk to me about Hamas. You won't. I also just stopped looking. Comment. I just stopped looking. I made it so like I don't look. It's never helpful.
Well, you guys were kind of the guinea pigs of the hateful internet and opinionated shit after Chappelle's show ended, because that was the internet boom was kind of right at that time. It was right. Kind of like the first viral forum shit, because I remember going on like early blogs. Yeah. And it was the first time I feel like people speculated about a breakup.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You guys kind of started that.
Oh, 506. Yeah. Well, that's what I don't like. Do you remember there was a conspiracy that Cosby and Oprah had appeared to Dave on? They were like the Black Avengers or something. It literally makes me hate every conspiracy theory since, because it was so fucking dumb and people were like swearing by it. And now when I, so when any conspiracy theory, I'm just like, it's stupid.
You don't have any you believe in? You look like you don't believe in the moon landing. Seem like one of those guys.
Go fuck yourself. I don't like your tone. It wasn't what you said. It's how you said it.
Just give me space race vibes.
Why would they fake them? Like, once if it's like, why? The idea that there's a cabal, that the cabal agrees with themselves, right? That there's a Jewish cabal and the Bilderbergs. And it's like, how were they all in cahoots? And then how do they have, they go, oh, COVID was intentional. For what? To kill 5 million people and and shut the economy down for 2 years? How is that a good conspiracy?
It's not a good one, but it's no, but sort again, of
what would it? What would it serve?
The pharmaceutical boom. There was a lot of money.
It was one company.
I mean, look, but that's, yeah, but like historically.
Johnson. Again, if Merck and Pfizer have the formula, there's 10 other people that don't want the country to shut down.
I mean, I just think the structure of the country overall, forget the vaccine.
Also, the country,
forget,
it's all the world. That's
changed
the other
drastically.
Thing.
So I could see a conspiracy making sense to shift the entire structure of mankind.
But why would they want to how do they shift the structure of mankind?
I just think that's above our pay grade.
You can't tell me there's a thing and then go, I don't know how it works, but I know that it exists.
That's pretty much how I live my life. Just say things and I have no idea.
Didn't
about
Bill
them.
Gates say, hasn't he gone on record talking about overpopulation is going to be ultimately the demise of
Elon Musk, the guy who's richer than him, is a pronatalist, meaning he believes we have to populate the earth. Yeah. So who's running the cabal? It's clearly not the rich. That's what I'm saying. Like, if the more you know about shit, shit is really complex.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
everything is gossip.
Sure.
And everything, it's like where you go, wait, what? And then the last person who talks to you, go, that I agree with him. And then somebody else says something. You're like, okay, fuck that last guy. You're my guy now. What happened to 5G causing it? Remember that one?
That was crazy.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
Remember when they
no one has apologized to everybody me for wasting my fucking antennas? Precious time.
Well, we have LTE now.
So. They said black people couldn't get it. That lasted for like 3 weeks. Yeah. About a month, maybe.
Black people couldn't get COVID.
Couldn't get COVID? First, yeah. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. Remember that was the thing.
All the first cases were white people.
And I started that one. I'm a hypocrite.
Cosby and Oprah came to you and said, Neil.
They came to me directly. Yeah. That was mine.
How much weed did y'all smoke right in Half Baked?
I didn't smoke any weed.
No way.
Come on, I swear to God, I don't smoke weed. I don't like weed.
I'm with you.
And did it make you anxious? Hold in on yourself?
Yeah. Everything people say about what they like about weed doesn't happen when I smoke weed.
It's the wrong strain. You're smoking the
wrong. No, again, I've had this conversation. No, indica, bro. Makes sativa makes you work.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Both of them make me fold in on myself.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And disappear.
Now, you did the ayahuasca, right?
Many times.
Dude, I had an episode we were talking about. I think every rapper should have like an ayahuasca like treatment. For like the trauma, like I think that will change the entire landscape of hip hop. If every rapper that has ever been like in a shootout, ever had a friend pass away, everyone needs to do every
it
rapper.
Wouldn't
needs
help
to do
my dirtbag desires.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think? I mean, wouldn't that just be like all black people or all black men or something? Like, meaning why only hip hop?
Well,
have you done it?
No, I haven't done it, but I want to do it. I want to do it.
Well.
I know people that experienced it, they said it's the greatest thing ever.
If that makes sense.
We sat down with Mike Tyson years ago, and he said it is the greatest.
The Bufo, the shit he does.
Yeah.
The Toad
fucked me up for a year and a half. I did it once. He's done it 100 times.
Yeah.
I did it once and it fucked me up for, I'm getting a chills thinking about it. Like, it fucked me up so badly. I was so fucked up. I like, you go, you, it's called Bufo, the mm-hmm. Toad.
Yeah.
The Bufo Olivarius, yeah. Mm-hmm. 5-MeO-DMT. It's mm-hmm. like too many names. You inhale it. I inhaled it and I went to a place that another guy named Michael Pollan described as before the Big Bang.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You never been here. Mm-hmm. This is like your inside consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly but surely, like, you come back into yourself after about 20 minutes. And the issue for me was a week later, I had a reactivation. So now I'm on the street talking to Ryan Hamilton on a Saturday night on 6th Avenue and Bleecker, mm-hmm. or 6th Avenue and fucking Housing.
Mm-hmm.
And I can feel it coming back. Mm. And I'm like, hey, man, I'm going to run upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, I'm on a coffee date with a girl and half of my field of vision is like white static. So I'm like so disoriented. I'm like split between them. I got so disoriented. I didn't understand like why life existed.
Mm-hmm.
I was so disoriented. I was like, I might have to kill myself. It wasn't suicide. It was like, I'm not going to be able to take this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I didn't kill myself because I knew I would just be going into more of the disorientation.
Damn.
It was
permanently
fucking wild.
Wow. See, that's scary.
It's super scary. So when everybody's like this renaissance of like, everybody in, come on, fucking smoke. It's like, yo, everyone slow down. Ayahuasca, I have very different experiences on mm-hmm. and very positive experiences on. Now, having said both of those things, I'm better from having the smoke the toad
mm-hmm.
than I was before.
Okay.
I can fall in love. I'm funnier, write jokes. Like, everything about my life is better. I have a connection to God. That's from ayahuasca. But I was an atheist before I did ayahuasca and then was like, oh, I'm in the presence of God now. Okay, fine. That's all I needed to know. I just didn't have any experience with it.
Wow.
Now I accept it. I don't take antidepressants anymore and I believe in God. So that's pretty significant for like $200. So it's a pretty good bank.
Yeah, yeah. Not bad.
Did you write blocks before that experience?
I wrote blocks. I'd written blocks before it. And then I added the thing in the end with that like montage of craziness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it was like I went too far.
Mm.
The punchline to that, like the postscript is like, I'm better, but like, that was really touch and go where I'm walking down steps going like, what? Why are steps?
Yeah.
Why are steps?
Very, that's a Kanye thought.
Yeah, we need to abolish steps.
I know. I know.
He's when he said it.
Yeah. Like, didn't understand anything, but now I thought I was good after like 8 months. I got like 0.5% better every day.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I couldn't meditate. I was so far past meditating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like here. Meditators are like here. So I just needed to like slowly go back.
Okay.
And then I did like laughing gas at the dentist and like went back and had to like start over.
Mm-hmm.
So it took like, I thought it was good after 8 months. And then I was doing ayahuasca and I felt the DMT door close. And I was like, that shit was still open. I didn't realize. I thought it was good.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a year and a half later.
What is it about ayahuasca you think that can get someone to a place to understand how to love or even have a presence of God?
Well, the cool thing is there was no, what I like about these things is like, have you guys gone to therapy at all?
Yeah,
currently. In therapy, I always felt like, oh, look, man, I can keep talking about this.
Yeah.
It just felt like just like a monologue that I would do. Like, and then, of course, who can forget that? And then my mother, just that dumb therapy, not dumb, but whatever. It just feels repetitive. And I used to say to a therapist, like, it's in my body.
Mm-hmm.
It's just in my fucking body. I don't know how to describe it. And the DMT and the Aya got it out.
Yeah.
Or almost all the way out, like where it's not. Now, having said that, on Aya, I shake for hours. Mm. Like literally, like fucking, I do like the Harlem shake for like the first hour and a half. Swear to God. And then
it's Tyrone Biggums.
No, yeah. Yeah. People do steal car radios, you know.
Hilarious joke.
That joke is so fucking funny. And it's very hard to say. I have a picture of us like going over it. Like people do steal car radios. People do still steal car radios, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That joke and the Black Gallagher piss on me, you black motherfucker. Was like,
yeah.
That car radio one and the Black Gallagher one was like the small jokes that I feel most people didn't. Rick James is great. Don't,
But it's the side stuff. So I shake and then it goes into my arms and I don't know what it is.
What do you think that feeling that you're saying is inside people, trying to get out?
There's a thing called traumatic release, which I've done it all. The traumatic release where you know, when you, after you work out, I would say, you know, but no one here works out.
Just scaffolding. Pull-ups.
Oh, sorry, Mom. Yep. So you know when you work out and you kind of are a little shaky afterward?
Yeah. Mm.
It's that, but you can kind of make it last for like an hour and apparently get shit out of your body.
Is that a feeling of comfort when you're in that, or is that like hard to
manage? I actually like it. Yeah, I do like it because it just feels like I don't know what's happening. I'm not mad at it. Mm-hmm. And
let's just see where it goes.
I'm assuming it's positive. It's definitely not negative.
Is that something you have to maintain though? Like, are you going to continue to do ayahuasca quarterly? Like, how does it work once you get to that place?
I haven't. I did it in March.
Where do you do it? Where do you go?
It's out by Six Flags.
Naturally.
A lot of people go to Peru. I go up on the five.
It's by the bathroom.
It's near Hershey Park.
Dorney Park. You go down the water slide, and then you go right into.
You guys ever been out of the Wet n Wild? Dorney Park. Fuck.
Yeah, that's sick.
Don't.
Yeah.
I haven't done it since March. Here's the cool thing. I said in blocks that MDMA doesn't work for me. It does now because of the DMT.
Interesting.
So I can, when I take MDMA or mushrooms, it's a God connection.
Mm-hmm.
So I may not need to do it anyway. I would never do DMT again. Mm-hmm. Aya is hard. Aya, you're like kind of afraid you're going to lose your mind. Mm-hmm. Like there are times on Aya where I'm like, I have to remind myself I'm a mammal. Wide shot.
What is the reminder to let yourself know you're a mammal?
Because
pick something up.
You're a mammal and you need to breathe.
Yeah.
You're going back to the studs.
Yeah.
It's like,
the whale coming up from the surface.
Real basic.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a time. The fourth time I did I drank too much, right? And I was thrust into outer space and by myself in my mud. And the universe was gonna be ended.
Mm.
And I was by myself in outer space. Mm. And it was fucking terrifying. And I was like, all right, just breathe in case people find you, in case there's some kind of beacon. I don't know what I thought was gonna happen out of it. That ended. But that was like 4 hours.
Are you alone?
No, I was with Ian Edwards and a girl named Catherine. Great question,
though.
And long story short, I was like traumatized after that from overdrinking and being in a like scary situation. And so the next four times I did it were like a little touch and go. And I would go to a place that I call mammal time where I was kind of in the, I think it was the time on Earth when fish became human.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I had to remind myself that I'm a mammal. Anyhow, we'll be right back.
Go ahead.
Did you ever?
But it cleared up my depression. Do you know what I mean? Like, I say it's like getting a software upgrade, but you know when you upgrade your phone, it turns off.
Yeah.
this, you're still on.
Okay.
And you're getting like reprogrammed.
Do you recommend it though? Like,
I would recommend ayahuasca to just about anybody unless they have, unless they're bipolar.
Unless you're bipolar.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So there goes all, most of your rappers.
Yeah. That's it.
There goes most of your good rappers.
Out of here.
I think it's interesting because I agree with you with therapy. There's really only so much you can do. Like, I get to great places with my therapist and it's just like, now what? Like, all right, cool. Yeah. I understand where this comes from now.
Yeah.
Now what?
Yeah.
Therapy is direct in addressing things. The way you're explaining ayahuasca feels much more spiritual. Did you ever encounter anything direct in the ayahuasca? Not just a spiritual thing, maybe seeing God or
that's the
else.
Other thing. Like, well, there's
a direct demon that you maybe discussed in therapy.
Are you asking me when I did it in last October, did a female spirit come into my face and then a male spirit?
Yeah.
Again, we'll be right back.
Your parents.
Did I believe in any of that shit before? Fucking absolutely not. Mm. I was an atheist. And I was just like, okay, a female spirit and then a male spirit. And then I told my friend, you brought someone in with you. And she was like, it's my twin brother who died in utero. Shit like that. It's like a movie. It's like some Santeria shit. It's like really, really wild.
So you're saying in the spirit world, there is only two genders. That's what you're saying on record. I know.
I think that goes without saying.
That's not just beholden to the spiritual world.
Yeah.
Yeah. They ain't with all that other shit.
Do you ever do acid?
Yeah. I used to take acid in high school, but it's the, all the shit. Look, I don't know who you are. But yeah, high school.
He's a coke guy.
Yeah, he's a coke guy.
Fort Rook. All right.
Yeah. So there is a, I haven't encountered, like, have I gotten direct messages or direct guidance? No. Mm-hmm. I've written jokes on it. Like, it's not, you're kind of half there and half.
Yeah.
It kind of comes in waves. So I didn't get anything directly other than like, oh, I'm in the presence of God. So that's good. That's like a cool thing. Mm-hmm. And it's reprogrammed me to where when I do MDMA, it works and it's a God connection to mushrooms. And like, it just kind of opened a portal that I can, that is always with me. I feel like if that starts to close, I'll open it up. Mm-hmm. But so far, so good.
I did a sound journey, which was pretty interesting. It's MDMA and shrooms together and you're blindfolded.
Do you know how much?
I'd have to look back. It was a lot.
There's mushrooms that's like manageable. And then there's mushrooms. It's like anything over 2 grams for me, I'm like, yo, like I did too many, I don't know, 6 months ago. And it was like, you're far from the shore, son.
Oh, I know. I left. Like I went somewhere else.
Yeah.
It was that type of trip.
Oh, last time I did it. Sorry to interrupt. But you guys invited me.
Yeah.
This is how far out I was. I was communicating with like alien, like, what's that show on History Channel? It's like
Ancient Aliens.
Yes. Thank you. You're almost worthwhile. Where I was going, I was communicating. I was involuntarily going near for an hour.
Vibrations feel really good when you're
and I don't know space. If that's. I don't know if it's what's a dream, what's actual, ancient aliens. Yeah.
The sound journey was interesting because you're blindfolded and they have live music playing and like tones and smells. There's probably like 20 of us in there. And yeah, it's a whole process. Professionals, like you go 4 hours before, you have like meetings. It's a real fucking
thing. I don't want to be around that many people when I experience
that. Yeah.
I want to be.
So that's what made me.
You got your hands are full. you're good.
I was nervous going into it.
You got bigger issues.
You don't even notice that.
I'm laying down. I'm like, all right, people. I'm in a sleeping bag.
I'm talking about ancient aliens, dog.
Talking about the mammal space.
Yeah, I'm fucking, you trying to be a mammal or what?
The moment that shit hit, Ma, I was not in Brooklyn anymore. There was someone right next to me and I was nervous. Like, oh, this is going to be like weird. Like, I just have some person laying next to me.
Yeah.
5 minutes later, 5 hours later, woke up. Like, you have no idea where
you are. You're not there. You're literally not. It's not, you go into another
thing. See, the only thing I'm just scared that I'm never going to come back if I do that.
Yeah. You know, the thing that people always worry about is like, am I going to shit my pants? No, I've never seen anybody shit their pants. And I never will. I think everybody pukes, but that's like, I've only puked once, but like everyone's puking. Mm-hmm. There's something funny about that to me, that it's just like 25 people and one guy's talking and people are, and you hear like, and he doesn't acknowledge it. That
he's used to it.
Yeah. It's just, you're just like, what are you going to do?
With the 20 people, though, the only bad and awkward part was after we were done, you can't like leave right away because you're still a little fucked up. Yeah. And like they have a powwow at the end and like people can share about their journey if they want.
Okay.
And I was so fucked up from the journey. It made me like even more depressed once everyone was explaining the amazing time they had. Mm-hmm. Like one girl got into that she was touched and as a child and is like over her sexual abuse based off that. And I'm sitting here like, I just found out I'm more of a fucked up person than I thought I was. Like, everyone was happy and that made me more depressed.
You don't like that?
Yes.
Yeah. But what did
I felt
you,
left out.
What did you, well, what was yours like?
It was a journey in every sense of the word. The most I discovered from it is I am attracted to very dark tones and I feel comfortable in chaos.
Audible?
Black woman.
Audible tones?
Black woman. He's dark tones.
With curly hair.
Yeah.
Yes.
Moisturized?
Shea butter, everything.
I love it. I love what I'm hearing.
And anytime like happy tones came or anything light, I got really nervous and uncomfortable and really wanted the darker shit to come back. When they would do the chaotic parts of the music, I was at home. Like, I felt fucking fine, comfortable. Anytime things got happy.
That's not necessarily bad.
Yeah, maybe. But then when everyone is talking at the end of how great of a time they had,
I was like, molested.
I mean, I did too. So I was like,
jealous of that girl that got molested. Why couldn't I have been molested like her? Something to overcome.
You were. I was molested, and then when she was bringing, I was like, "Damn, the shrooms didn't work for me."
Yeah,
now I'm still not over it.
You should be jealous. Ask for your money back. Destroy,
or just like a different sexual predator. Wish I would have had hers.
Yeah, I mean, you do it again.
Yeah, I'm going to probably.
Did you find it help like a week or two later?
I'm still processing, and it's been over a year now. I don't know. I feel weird about it. I have flashbacks from it and I have feelings from it constantly. I still can't figure them out.
Are they negative or they're neutral?
It's neutral. They're not good or bad.
Do you take antidepressants or anything?
I used to. I don't know anymore.
Don't say it with that superior tone. Do you...
it's more of a proud tone.
No, yeah, good. Do more.
Yeah.
Like try more, because it doesn't have to be, you could get more of a read on it or more like a different emotional process.
Yeah.
That'd be my advice, but I don't have any idea.
Do you feel, because me and Rory go back and forth a lot about SNL and Living Color.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like in Living Color for the short time that we had it, do you feel like it was as important and as great of a platform as SNL was? And why don't we talk about Keenan Ivory Wayans more in the culture?
A lot of great questions there. I mean, Jim popped from it. Damon's movies didn't really do well. That was a big issue.
Yeah.
Like Blank Man and Last Boy Scout, and I'm trying to think of
Major Pain was
Major Pain. Major Pain didn't like perform well at the box. Yeah,
Mo Money.
Mm.
Yeah.
Booty Call was kind of a bigger hit than Mo Money.
Yeah.
Booty Call did good. That's Jamie. And that's maybe, is that after Lynn Kelly? It's like around the tail end.
Yeah.
And Jamie and Tommy Davidson, right? Mm-hmm. And then Jim's, became like the biggest movie star in the world for like 5 years. So, but I don't know if that gets, if Lynn Keller would get credit for that. Meaning, I don't think it should. Mm-hmm. But I think, and also SNL's just perennial and like was John Belushi and Will Ferrell and Pete Davidson. And it's just like for 50 years, it's kicking people out. It's like,
I love Pete, but
giving
Belushi. Right. Will.
But I'm saying like, but the whole culture changed where like, there's not going to be another John Belushi. Mm-hmm. Or, okay, John Mulaney. Like, John's technically from SNL. So, So
a Belushi can't in this climate. No,
it's not even climate. They don't make comedy movies anymore.
Yeah,
they don't do.
Budgets
they don't
went to Avengers.
I've had right, but it's not even. They don't.
Old Dads is on Netflix. Come on,
I kind of enjoyed the.
Right, but old I'm dads. Saying like that's it's on Netflix because it probably wouldn't have done.
Yeah,
it like 30 million people have watched it so far in the at box office. It's like $450 million. It wouldn't have made $450 at the box office. Right. So
and Netflix is where the comedy fans are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a little easier to put comedy movies on Netflix than in the box office.
Yeah, it's like Burr. It Burr's like one of the main people that like. It's a good place for it to be. I'm just saying, like you don't like Burt's movie tanked, Joe Coy's movie tanked, Sebastian's movie tanked. Like these things that you would have in the 90s, it would have been like Tommy Boy or Happy Gilmore, Half Baked, or any of these like or. When Farrell's movies like Elf or like where you go a comedy person in a fun situation.
It's funny how comedy shifted in that regard. It was like stand-ups wanted to get a sitcom.
Yeah.
And then that turned into stand-ups wanting to get a movie.
Uh-huh.
And now it's like stand-ups podcast, trying to get a podcast. Is that the
you'd
next
want to be, I mean, yeah. In terms of money, in terms of like amount of work. And also, the only people who did arenas stand-up-wise were like 2015 were Eddie Murphy and Andrew Dice Clay.
Yeah.
Like, that's the list. And Dice did The Garden. It's not like he was doing arenas everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, Eddie was doing arenas everywhere, and sometimes not even. And so now, there's 15 people that do arenas.
Mm-hmm.
So, they're even a hot, you know... Doing a TV show is you taking a pay cut.
Yeah.
There's not a person alive who wouldn't, you'd have to make $1 million an episode to make the money you make on an arena tour.
And this climate is so interesting that Bert, I think it's great that he did that movie and I did enjoy it. Probably the least valuable thing in his
portfolio.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
Pay cut. Again, I'm telling you like pay cut, even if he had a good deal, I have no idea if he did or didn't.
Podcast you make episode
so
is more
much money doing an arena.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like Bert made $35 million last year. It wasn't from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also, I don't want to watch a movie.
No. Our attention span is.
I don't want to watch a movie. And also, stand-up is so much fucking funnier than any movie. Even Borat. Even a movie with, like, a lot of laughs.
Mm-hmm.
Most hours have way more laughs than Borat. Like, or Team America. Or, like, now there is something that Keenan Wayans actually said to me one time. He was talking about Hollywood Shuffle. And he said he had, great movie. He had those sketches. And then Robert Townsend gave it a plot and he's like, and without the plot you've never heard of it, meaning he said people would rather watch a good movie than a funny movie, which is right. Like people would rather watch Forrest Gump or like some like, you know, big cinematic, I don't even know what the big movies are anymore, but a big cinematic movie than like a funny. It's they want heart and story and twists and shit, and most comedy plots are just for.
And you're kind of the poster child for modern comedy and where it's at, because you went movie, TV, then to stand up.
Right. And like everybody was like, backwards. You're doing it backwards. And it's like,
But now that's the most valuable thing. So it actually made sense.
And those things are like doing, I love doing Chappelle Show, but the, like it's like doing a corporate gig. Mm. It really is. It's just like the thing about stand up and podcasts is like, there is no, in a movie, you have to affirm Judeo-Christian values. Mm-hmm. You go like, and they got back together, and they're gonna move in together, and he learned his lesson, and with stand-up, you're fucking shit.
Yeah,
you know, why didn't you learn shit from fucking George Carlin act? Yeah, so that'd be like, and then he realized that no people are good.
Yeah,
no, he didn't. He fucking was like, his last question was, "You're all diseased."
Mm-hmm.
Like that's pretty dark.
Yeah,
but so.
Huh? Sorry, I was gonna say, but even your specials, I feel like, are so well produced, and you have they're very thematic in like three mics, and
yeah,
even with blocks, yeah, as well. Like
you, yeah, because I have some of that.
A story arc.
It's like the new one isn't gonna be, but I only do that because I have to. Meaning, like, I just have to. I don't want to take any chances. Because I did a Comedy Central special, and people were like, "Meh." And then I was like, all right, I'll fucking throw some more shit up there.
Yeah.
Ah. And then people cared more. Hopefully I'm going to make it so they don't. I'm going back to their just stand up. But no narrative, no feelings, guys. You're going to love it. Because a lot of people don't like all the feeling shit. So, like, yeah. Which I get. Like, well, I mean, it's a little heavy.
I'm depressed, so I love three mics.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Blocks, like, Women in Black Dudes, was that the.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I liked it. Don't yeah. get me wrong. But I think. Your uniqueness showed
yes.
in the other two.
Now
what
I'm
you,
assuming
what you bring to the table was better there.
People will take the now they know me more because that was like three mics was like intended to explain myself. Like, you know, I'm depressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know why I'm like this. So now I'm taking the new one. I'm almost totally contradicting myself okay. where I'm like, I'm kind of in favor of mental illness.
Mm. Just read Charlemagne's book. You'll be cured.
What is which one? Black
all seven
privilege?
Of them? I don't know.
His face on it.
Chicken soup.
Catcher in the Rye.
Yeah, exactly. Chicken soup.
When you saw the Chris Rock Will Smith moment, what was your first thoughts? Because I thought it was fake. I'm gonna be honest. I was like,
I didn't think. I knew it wasn't. Here's my.
And what was your group chat like?
I was
your group chat with
getting a Mendocino. I was at Mendocino Farm.
Mm-hmm.
How I am Sunday nights. I get my big and bon mei with no cilantro, no cucumber.
Mwah. Crazy. Fuck cilantro.
Yeah. First of all, fuck cilantro. I don't even care about Will
finally,
and Chris.
Someone,
this is about cilantro. Cilantro, we're looking at you, dog. We're calling you to the table. I was at basically a mere Questlove's category was documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Chris was presenting.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked on Twitter and James Poyser, who's in the room, plays keyboard, tweeted something like Afro next or something, meaning Amir. So I was like, oh, all right, I'll turn. So I go on my stream thing in my car and like, and it starts fritzing out, and I'm like, "This is not good." Mm-hmm. I just knew like this is not good because I'd seen Chris like the night before, two nights before, and not like he was like, "I'm gonna." It was just whatever. So I just knew it was not good, and then I saw it, and it was I knew it wouldn't pick.
Mm.
I just knew. Too much of the
history,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it was fake.
What do you think of Jada now? Post this press run,
I don't. I feel like they're on some other shit, and it's not. It's like it's not for people. Like they're approaching all their life and their relationships and stuff in a very unique way.
Mm-hmm.
Which I respect.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't tell certain people about it. And they tell everyone.
Everybody, yeah.
So I think from like the August Alsina shit to the, it's just like, this isn't, people are never going to accept this.
Yeah.
Even Will talking about ayahuasca is a bit like, there's a thing in 12-step programs where you don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a skate ramp built next door. Hope that works for everybody. Sonically. I thought we'd be done by now. I thought we'd be done. I said, guys, start right at 12:12 sharp. But Alex Media.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Weezy. Yeah. It should soundproof the studio, yeah. I think.
Why do that?
Right.
Why do that when you could not do that?
Save some money.
Yeah. I'm saving, what, and blow $80 like that?
All that foam.
Yeah. What do you think? Egg cartons just grow on trees? So they're on. So with 12-step programs, you don't talk about it. People that are in AA don't say they're in AA, because what happens is if you get drunk, then everyone goes, oh, AA doesn't work.
Yeah.
Right. So with Will and ayahuasca, it was a bit like, and there were some memes afterward of like, when you've done ayah and it works and you've done ayah and it's like Chris and Will. but I mean, and again, I could do a show of like the depth of it was insane. Mm. Like back in the and it was wild.
In pre-production, we definitely didn't want to do like a bunch of Chappelle Show shit. I know those questions have been ran into the ground. Mm-hmm. And I think I've seen probably every interview regarding it.
I don't know. You guys related to that anyway? Go ahead.
Absolutely.
We don't know about breakups. There's one question that I don't think you've been asked. What was the first conversation you and Chappelle had after the fallout to start back to be friends again? How did that even happen?
I think he was on Oprah. And I...
With Cosby?
I mean, again, even when you go Oprah, he was on Oprah. And you're like, what?
How am I connected?
It's also fucking insane. Like, what happened? And I just called him. I think it wasn't friendly.
Was it something he said on Oprah that made?
Oh, it was many things. Yeah, no, it was. It wasn't friendly. It wasn't like until that whatever year that was. That would have been 06. It was friendly, maybe. The night Harlan died, I saw him at the Comedy Store. That was maybe 09. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know what year it was, but. And then we talked there. And then it just kind of like started trending in a better direction.
Because I mean, obviously, everyone is always more interested in the negativity and the breakups. I'm always just curious about the redemption, like how that comes back together. Because I mean, rarely when people fall out these days,
there's the obvious. There's the obvious have more in common. The through line, history, that stuff, that just goes a long way. You know what I mean? Like going, like when you bring up, or when I brought up Hollywood Shuffle, like the thing I think about with Hollywood Shuffle is we were writing Half Baked. It was on Comedy Central, and it shows like, let's just keep watching. It's like fucking it's due the next day. Mm-hmm. I'm like, dude, we have to. If we hadn't stopped watching, we wouldn't have written the movie. Like the movie would have never been made. Because it was like we were just like, we gotta. So just shit like that where it's just like little moments of like, or people do steal car radio. Like just shit like that that's like a. There's a million of them. Mm-hmm. So you can't, I think Seinfeld said like you can get new anything except old friends. Mm. Like you can't get new old friends. Like you can't get, I'm not going to have that kind of relationship with anybody.
The history was more important than the fallout.
It's neck and neck. But, but yeah. It's just like there aren't people like him don't grow on trees in terms of like what they're like, what he's like anyway, as like a unique person to talk to and to have the emotional history and like time history, just like thousands of hours spent together. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing where that's like the consideration. Like, and even if I don't talk to him for 6 months, it's like, it's like there's no, it's one of these things where like he'll probably not have a better friend than me, and I probably won't have a better friend than him. Like,
so let's deal with each other.
Well, meaning you can live to 200, you're not going to beat it.
Yeah. Right.
Like, that's kind of how I feel about it. It's like, you can, I mean, and vice versa. It's like, which we've yelled at each other several times.
But I feel like with y'all, it never got to a point publicly of too much disrespect, though.
No, because I don't. It's not. I respect him. Mm-hmm. So I respect him and I appreciate him. So mm-hmm. it's not like it's he really did like give me a huge opportunity. Mm-hmm. So I can't. It's like ethically, I can only get so. It's like wouldn't be right.
Right.
To talk about anything personal like that. Like it's I have too much.
Yeah.
I have respect for him generally and I respect, you know, like and I per like I respect him as like a comedian I've never met. Right. Like mm-hmm. just as like, maybe an amazing. And then to like he specifically helped me. So I can't. You'd have to really, you'd have to get like that vice from Casino mm-hmm. where he's got the guy's head in a vice mm-hmm. that you'd have to do that. You'd have to waterboard me for a while.
Is Dave, as far as comedians go, where do you have
him? Eighth. I'm kidding. Eighth? No, I have no idea. No, I don't. It's a, to me, it's just like a photo finish. It's just, it's like different people for different shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, types of material or style or
mm-hmm.
like the decathlon or the triathlon of like sketch, stand up, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like the categories. So it's like certain people are, but yeah, it's a scrum
mm-hmm.
of who sometimes it's that like, you know,
when did you know that you wanted to do like comedic writing?
Like well, I remember when I was little.
One of my favorite movies, Stripes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's when after that, maybe my mom let me watch like Raw, Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
But for me, comedy was introduced through the movie Stripes.
Yeah.
But I would never watch a movie like that today.
Well, they don't make them. Well, what do you mean? Well, what do you mean by you wouldn't watch it today?
I think my sense of humor just changed.
Yeah, well, you're like 10. That's what a lot of these movies don't hold up at all.
Yeah.
Because Stripes is like, you want to talk about a horrible plot. Right. It's like,
is there a plot?
No, there's not. There's really not. Because that's how Bill Murray, they would just have like the shoot dates.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're going on Army base. And we're going to, you and Harold are in the Army, kind of.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, the Germans are coming.
Like, yeah, like, and then there's a fucking camper.
Yeah.
Then you go to Germany?
Yeah, for real.
It's fucking mud wrestling.
We'll
it's
just
weird.
Cut away to John. We'll cut to John Cannon. We'll cut to this guy. It's like...
And we can't get that. He's dating Khalees now. So we can't get Stripes.
Yeah.
That is so... That is like a hilarious...
So awkward, but okay.
Yeah. Where I used to do that game with an ex of mine where I'd be like, did you hear his dating? The greatest of all time was Kathy Griffin and Steve Wozniak.
Oh my God.
The founder of Apple.
Yeah.
It's the craziest relationship.
Let love win.
Yeah. You know what? when I was little, I just wanted to be in comedy. Mm. So, and then my brother was a comedian. So I got to go to clubs when I was like 14, 15. So that right there is just a huge.
Did you use comedy growing up as like a survival skill?
Yeah. And I was like, I remember I was in high school and one of my brothers said to my other brother, like, you're not even the funniest one in the family. Neil is. I was like, drag me into this.
Yeah. Brother said a great bit on Twitter the other day.
Yeah.
Going fucking so I don't crazy. Know if you're the funniest.
What's that about block words? Yeah. Now I had to block Matthew Perry. I mean,
you just
didn't, I mean, the fallout.
It went over your head. You didn't see the genius the fallout. In the bit that he was doing.
Yeah. I really don't even know what he, that's how blocked I am. Like, I got layers on fucking layers. Yeah. My computer foam shoots out if I type it in. When I was a little kid, and then here's a crazy. So Eddie Murphy's on Saturday Night Live. So that's 81, 82, 83.
Yeah.
Right. 84, maybe two. So I'm old enough to have, we had one TV in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And I would watch SNL. I like couldn't believe it that this, I didn't, it's like, what is sketch comedy? It was fucking insane. So I would run up, my parents would get home and I'd run up the steps.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally I said to my mom, I was like, hey, I need to watch Saturday Night Live. It's important. And I was like 9. Mm. I remember thinking, like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. It's important. I'd never said it's important.
Right.
So I was like into it, like in a way I didn't like, whatever. It's like there's something self-congratulatory about that story that I don't like, but like I was fucking, mm-hmm. I had a weird connection to it quickly. Mm-hmm. So that was when I, and then clubs, and I was like, that's great. And then I got into NYU film school. So, and then I got to go to New York and go to school and then dropped out after a year. But it was always kind of like headed in like funny mm-hmm. filmmaking, stand-up, whatever, sketches.
Mm-hmm. Did that expand beyond your brothers being funny? Were your parents in that rhythm as well?
My dad would like steal material. Like I'd realize he'd stole it. From like Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra. My mom wasn't especially funny, but my dad and my brothers.
Gotcha.
Irish households are unintentionally funny. They're not trying to be funny, but yeah, it's fucking like, hilarious when you look at it.
Like a dark, dark play. You've seen a dark play, son? That's what an Irish house is like all the time. We had, and there were 10 of us, so it was pretty wild.
Yeah. My trauma is hilarious at the end of the day.
We'll see. Well,
just no resolution.
What was it like? Speaking of trauma, what was it like directing the 444 documentary? Yeah. I guess we call it.
That was fun. In that, I didn't. It was fun. It was fun talking to Will, talking to Chris, talking to. Or talking to Anthony, talking to Kendrick, talking to people that some people I knew, some people I didn't. It was weird being white doing it.
Yeah. And quickly, for those that don't know, because I think it was just on Tidal exclusive.
Yeah,
right?
It was only on Tidal.
When 444 came out, Neil directed this piece of content that had black men talking about their feelings.
Yeah, basically interviewing black dudes about the themes of their record.
Yeah.
And it's just Jay-Z is such a big, like you never even, it's like you never, you just hear rumors about what he thought. I would just go like, did he?
Yeah.
I talked to him a couple times. It was fun. I liked talking to the guys and I liked, but the music industry is insane.
How was that pitched to each person? Like to Kendrick, did you?
I don't know how I know he wanted, Kenyon Barris to direct it, and he didn't earn it that time. So naturally, it worked its way down to me. I'm number two. But no one had seen Three Mics from Jay's team. No one knew I was the king of emo comedy. So it was cool, but it's even like it's all ever so you know, it's like Kendrick's and people and it's all just felt like it's also overheated in the music biz because everyone's such a big deal.
Yeah.
And everyone around them is just gassing them up all the time. Mm-hmm. So just having a weird, it's hard to just have a weird, a real conversation with people. Agreed. But Will, I knew a little bit from before and I knew, like there were people ayahuasca I had days. Relationships with.
Same around the ayahuasca tank.
This was before Aya. He had told me about Aya. And I was like, all right, we'll see.
Clearly didn't work.
Yeah. No, I can't say that.
favorite Kobe memory?
Kobe.
Directed a commercial for him.
Yeah, I directed a few commercials with Kobe. He did a thing, an impressive. He had his right arm was in a sling, and he shot. He was on the free throw line and he shot on the other free throw for the other basket underhand and hit the rim, which sounds like what, but it was like, what the fuck? What are you doing? I have that. That's one of my favorite. Like, what are you doing? The other one, I had a meeting with Mike Myers one time in his house and he did the walk behind the couch from Austin Powers. What the fuck?
Without context, just did it.
He was kind of like it barely needed to be done, mm-hmm. and he did it. That was pretty great.
That's
Kobe was again. The funny thing about Kobe is, if you wanted to film him, it had to be within 10 minutes of his house because you weren't going to make him more famous.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. and you weren't gonna. It's a Nike commercial. It's like, what do you got? Hold, not pay me.
Right.
You just all those relationships are like. You know, like, yeah, I'll do it, but like, you have to shoot it near my house, like 10 minutes, I'll be there. And when you work with an athlete like that, you have a 90 minute window, like door to door. So he showed, I'll get there at 9. I remember them going, like, Kobe's getting here at 9:40. You'll go in at 9:42. You'll speak to him. He'll do it. Eh. And it's all so set up like that. Mm-hmm. And LeBron, same thing. From this, I did a Sprite commercial with him, and it's like, he gets a fixed amount of time. It's like the president, basically, which I get. They you know, they make hundreds of millions. They're worth so much money. They're worth so much money to the people around them. So, and clearly, they at one point they just go, "Why am I waiting?" And then the people are scared forever. So they just everyone's on their like on their toes, which fine.
Yeah,
but I didn't get the sense he liked me. Next question.
that's why a lot of like my heroes, quote unquote, I don't really want to interview or interact with. And maybe that's my fragile ego. I'm like, they're probably going to hate me. And I don't want to live with that.
Your idols or somebody you looked up to and when you met them, you was like, oh, he's a dick.
Not going to tell you. Would have been great podcasting though. If I'd told you the story.
We would have clipped it, headline, everything.
Yeah, yeah. Never would have clipped it. It's not what they're about. It's more just about their relationship. Most people are like very nice, very respectful. Some people are like a little bit like, nah.
Yeah.
That's the shit where it's just like, oh, I won't deal with this anymore. I just won't do it. Like, I won't work with you or whatever. I just like, it's not worth it. It's just not fun. But like LeBron's super nice to me and super respectful. And like, thumbnail, like knows who LeBron's I am. And cool. Yeah. Like, so. It also, how old are they is a big one.
Yeah.
If they're 35, they were 15 when Chappelle Show was up. So like there are, I did an NFL commercial recently and one of the guests was like, good to see you, Neil. And I want to go, we've never met, son.
Yeah.
You were just 15 when Chappelle Show came out. So you think we were like that always, it just makes it easier.
But even the younger guys, I think, everyone, because it's such a cult classic, knows Half-Baked. I don't care how old.
Yeah, but they don't. Yeah, that. But yeah, that's it's the it's all kind of the same thing. Mm-hmm. Where they, it's all just like I respect you for whether it's stand up or Chappelle Show or Half-Baked or whatever. It's always like a pretty positive. It's not always, but mostly it's pretty. Mm-hmm.
Did you get any publishing on the Carter's Everything Is Love album?
You think I'm gonna? Have you seen me question. Avoid several Jay-Z traps here? Have you any?
He's sidestepping. Okay.
I'll redirect the question. What was it like hearing Beyonce harmonize a bit from Half-Baked?
Oh, you know what? I actually agree with, I think I've voiced displeasure about this before. When you, it used to be, I think it's slightly changed now, but when you, if you say lyrics on in a special or sing song it, you just have to pay publishing as a comedian, which is like fucked up. And so the fact that everything musicians lyrics are they own the publishing, like so many different ways, performance, singing, whatever, that the fact that Beyonce sang You're Cool, or I don't even remember how she said it, but but I was like, why don't we get money for this? Like,
I mean, why don't from
the yes like bit. Why don't the people, why doesn't it work both ways? And I truly don't know, but I could have taken a knife.
I could even see a lawyer though. That is kind of an easy thing to debunk. Like, she all she did say was fuck you, you're cool. We all knew what she was referencing. But at the end of the day, all she really said was fuck you, you're
really
cool.
I was ready to pour 150 grand into a lawsuit. I was ready to go to the mattresses for this fucking thing. Where's my fucking money, lady? I know it's in there.
Before we get to voicemails, do you think the champs could happen in this era?
Yeah, the champ. There was nothing wrong with the champs other than
it was like, one of my favorite.
It
podcasts.
It seemed racist because we were only interviewing black people.
Yeah.
But now I think it's called being anti-racist. Now there's a term for it, and it's anti-racist. But people thought it was racist, which is insane to me. But like,
there'd be it was great. Now.
There were no say again.
Think pieces would happen today.
Sure,
but they would what use I'm the word cosplay it, or one of those.
Yeah, sure. But the reason we did that, the reason I wanted to do it like that is because like Maron and Rogan didn't know any black people.
Yeah.
So I was literally like, I know pretty much every black comedian. I just do a podcast and have them on every week. Like yeah. That was the absolute
idea.
Yeah. It was the impetus for it. And yeah, but now it would be, even then they thought it was racist. In 2020, it wouldn't survive. Let's be honest. George Floyd summer, forget it.
Yeah. Yeah, having Tiffany Haddish on to tell her life story during the George Floyd.
Yeah, I'm well. No, that would have been a cute one, but that would have been heartwarming. But yeah,
Do we have voicemails?
You've got mail.
Yeah, Neil. So just so you're aware, we have a Patreon. And people can leave voicemail messages to our Patreon.
That's the problem is I can never do a Patreon. No, right. People are like, I'm not fucking getting the money.
You'd be surprised.
How poor could you be? No, I know. But then I look at you guys and I'm like,
anyone can do it.
I think these guys have outgrown their Patreon. I hate to fucking go on the record, but guys fucking working for UPS go like, put this aside for Rory and Mal, of course. As they make you sign for a 75-inch fucking flat screen. Sir? See, can't wait for the extra bonus footage, sir. Thanks for that shitty extra footage you give me every week. Man, what a bargain.
Been to the grocery store lately? It's so expensive. I could never imagine just $20 for a pod episode.
Oh, my God.
Cut this out because I want them to continue to pay.
It's four extra episodes a month.
Yeah.
Have you been to Trader Joe's lately?
I
would never pay for a subscription for the rest of my life once you see how much Trader Joe's costs.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Spinach, totally agree.
Forget about
it. I ransack Whole Foods weekly. It's
all right. Big money, my bad.
No, I steal.
He steals. He steals from Whole Foods.
Yeah, but it's a weird thing where it's like televangelism, where like Tim Dillon has a Rolls Royce and a Patreon. You're like, okay. You guys are fine with it.
On Patreon.
Of course. Yeah. But I'm saying like, if I were... I guess if you can't get it any other way, you can charge for it.
Yeah.
You said televangelist. I'm rewatching Righteous Gemstones. One of the craziest shows.
I've still never seen it.
Oh. Mm-mm. Wow.
What's funny is there's like a... I'm finding it in ayahuasca now too.
Righteous Gemstones?
There's this thing where they want to be famous and they want money and they want... It's like human beings can't not do it. Like they just have to do it. Uh-huh. Whatever it is. It's like... They have God juice. Mm-hmm. You drink it, you meet God, right?
Right.
That's not enough. They need it. They're skimming the attention that you give to God. They want it for themselves. And it's just like, it's so disappointing.
It's crazy. Sounds like the Illuminati.
Yeah, that's sick.
Have you ever been to any Eyes Wide Shut parties in Hollywood? Sorry.
No.
No, it goes right into the voicemail. So please.
No, I don't know where you're going to take this edit from, but well, maybe on the Eyes Wide Shut party. Not even really close. I mean, there was the Netflix party that I talk about in Blocks. It was like pretty close.
Yeah.
To like, it's not Illuminati. It's not like we're all there, but the setting is Illuminati.
Yeah.
The lighting is, it's all candlelight.
Like no kids were fucked, but it was still a powerful party.
Yeah. But it was like insane.
Yeah.
Dion Cole almost cried when he saw Eddie Murphy. He'd never seen them before. No one had ever... Eddie Murphy doesn't do anything. Yeah. So, like, you see him and you're like, what? Burr had never met him. It was just shit where you're like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Sick.
Voicemails.
Wow. Anyway, yeah. So, they can leave voicemails.
Wow, what a life. Yeah. Anyhow, let's listen to voicemails on a Patreon. Boom.
No, this is played on the regular episode.
Sorry, Illuminati. It won't happen again. I'm sure I learned my lesson.
I feel like I should change this voicemail because it's about the Illuminati.
Is it really?
Fantastic.
I'll play. We'll see how it goes. Theme. We'll see how it goes. Here.
What's going on, gang? It's your boy, Shauna Prince from Houston, Texas, currently based out of Dallas, Texas. And I just had a quick question for y'all. Since most of y'all work in the music industry and have close personal relationships with people who are in the music industry, artists and all of that, I just had a quick question because as of real recent, I've been just seeing like a overwhelming amount of people in comment sessions just talking about humiliation rituals and Illuminati and all of this shit. With Sexy Red little video leaking and with Drake painting his fingernails. Now, I just been seeing so much about people who think that all of these things happening are people's humiliation rituals. And I just wanted to ask y'all, since y'all personally know artists in the game, do they ever talk to y'all about, like, you know, different shit like that? Like, any secret booty hole parties? I mean, I'm sure, you know, everybody, you know, it's people in power that are going to abuse their position all the time, regardless. But I'm talking about like on some serious Illuminati type activity. Do y'all ever be hearing about that type shit? And can y'all please tell these outside niggas looking in that they sound ridiculous, swearing that everything has something to do with the Illuminati if a nigga get rich and famous? Thanks. Love you guys. I had also dropped a real funny one when y'all first heard it.
Well, I can confirm that Sexy Red is in the Illuminati.
Yes,
she was number one draft pick.
Again, it's the whole all of showbiz is a humiliation party.
Sure, yeah,
the whole thing.
Yeah,
it's just constantly trying not to be rejected and then mostly getting rejected.
Yeah,
so you don't need. I don't need a party. Just come to a new joke night. Yeah. The whole fucking thing is a humiliation party. For real, like it's already hard enough to make songs and then release them to the pub to monsters.
Yeah.
And opinionated entitled monsters.
Mm-hmm.
but yeah, so it's already, you know, there need to be another level of like, and also most everyone I've met in show business that's like on camera or whatever is pretty extraordinary. There are very few people where I'm like, oh, the fuck did he get it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it makes sense.
Like Snoop is like one of the most charismatic people on earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like kind of.
Right.
He's one of, I've heard stories about like Suge doing weird, whatever, no booty hole shit, but I'm just saying
like gang shit.
But just gang shit. Like, is that it? I don't know. You have to be very, very talented to mm-hmm. be famous for being talented.
Absolutely.
Like, I was asking a friend of mine, a producer, I was like, who's the best, most talented person you've worked with? And he's like, it's disappointing, but Adele. Wow. She's so fucking good. It's crazy. It's like, people I work with are so good.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the Mount Rushmore of say shit that's so fast and funny, it's like blinding. Mm-hmm. So I can't be like, well... But also the booty hole. You have to be able to do the job.
That's
the thing. It's like so it's a very rare talent. Obviously, it's comforting to think like they don't even deserve just about everyone deserves it.
Yeah. And I mean, you kind of can't win for losing with the humiliation part with fame. When you bring up Will Smith, the first thing they're going to discuss is the Jada shit. And
right.
No one's going to interrupt, be like, he was really good in Ali. Yeah. Like,
right.
Everything that you do great is always going to fall to the wayside of the humiliation.
Mm-hmm.
Will fucking Smith, the legend that Will Smith is, 100% we'd bring up, you know, that Jada shit is crazy, and no one will bring up his catalog.
Right. Agreed. And there's also a thing of, if you release anything, there's almost like AI of what the comments will be.
Yeah.
There's like he needs to stop doing this. Jada's bad. He needs to apologize. White man's trying to get him.
Mm.
Like there's for any content, there's like the automatic responses. Yeah. So
do you think it's a gift and a curse having a dad or a parent as famous as Will Smith? Because I always talk about how talented I think Jaden and Willow are. And if Jaden Smith wasn't Will's son, I think that he would be a bigger artist.
Well, there's a weird thing, that like Nepo baby thing, but a lot of them are really talented. It's just a weird thing where I get it sometimes. Like Dave, it's like Dave didn't write a joke fucking you know, none of my jokes are from like, you know what I mean? Like, you guys probably love, like, if it weren't for Joe. Yeah, that's true. Right. I was talking to an NBA player and they were talking about they got a max deal for playing with somebody. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I got a max deal once, but right. I've gotten two deals since.
Yeah.
Right. So like, yeah, like Will, Jaden is that single's great. Mm-hmm. You know, like the icon singer. It's a great song.
And it's like, what would you want them to do? Yes, we know Jaden because of his
drop your parents. Self in a vat of acid like the Joker and come back with a different name.
Like, so Jaden instead should just be a bum and not do anything and not take the opportunity.
I mean, again, it's like if you ask follow-ups to these people, they don't have an answer.
No.
And by the way, if Jaden came in, they'd be like, oh shit.
Of course.
Yo, I love you.
Big fan. Yeah. Big fan. And
also, like Blue Ivy, for example, there's no way that girl's not going to be talented.
Right.
Her parents are fucking Jay-Z and Beyonce. Right. Like, Jaden's parents are talented as fuck. Mm-hmm. Of course their kids are going to be great.
Like, we're there's angry. Never shit, we're angry maniacs because our parents were angry maniacs.
Irish.
Quote, unquote, Irish.
Yeah.
Do we have one more voicemail?
Yeah, let's... this is an interesting one. It's a pivot from the last one.
I heard my Usher favorite pod squad.
It's not the goddamn tape. I heard Usher one time. Dave did shows at Radio City that I was on, and Kendrick did one of them. Usher did one of them. And we were backstage, and before this, we were all getting ready to go on, and Usher screamed. And I was like, God damn. Like, again, just like Usher, a very talented guy, but everyone that, even the most talented person is only showing about 15% of how talented they could be.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, they never get to just sprint.
Right.
And I've seen enough of those things where I'm like, one of the Nike commercials was just showing people kind of sprinting. Mm-hmm. Like, they're so much better at this than you could ever be. Mm-hmm. Like, you get near a professional golfer, tennis player, whatever, basketball player, they're all so fucking big, you can't believe it. Mm-hmm. My dog got scared once. It's a pit bull. He got scared once. Blake Griffin came around a corner and my dog backed up.
Because like humans
like,
don't.
What the typical fuck humans don't this? Look like. You didn't tell me they were 6'9".
What are your thoughts on Victor since we're talking ball?
It's insane.
Yeah.
When the guys before the game, it's like you can't. Anytime I'm around a basketball player, I go, oh, I can't guard him. I can't. No, it's not going to happen. Like they're so big, but. My favorite was the palace, the palace.
Yeah.
You can see the one guy realizes how big Jermaine O'Neal is. Like, what the fuck? It's like the whole thing is just like, wait, you're so much bigger when I come rushing at you than you are from
300 feet away.
Yes, weird. This whole thing is an optical illusion. But it is like that with talent too, where it's like, so these funny people are so funny. These musical people are so musical. Like, on and on and on.
Maul and I had like an actual business meeting with Kevin Durant. And the entire time I was like, dude, is that a real human? Like,
yeah,
people don't look like this.
Yeah, I know.
It was fucking weird. It's so hard to describe. It was like looking at an alien. It was like,
what's great about sports. Human? Yes. Is that you can't argue with it. Whereas you can go like, are there booty hole parties? No. Adele
Katie is 7 feet tall and can hit a three-pointer.
Adele is just that good. So yes. People say, there Beyonce has to be booty hole parties.
Perfect pitch. I remember Sandberg telling me about doing Dick in a Box with Timberlake. And he goes, his waveforms were fucking perfect on the thing. Like, yes, they are flawless. They can do a flawless thing.
Yeah.
And it's very lucrative, and it does hurt your feelings because they are better than you at that.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, you're better than me. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's why the NBA now where it's like, is LeBron all that shit? It's like, these guys would fucking destroy you. When Scalabrine was doing that shit where I'm so much closer to LeBron than you are to me.
Yeah.
But even that, people don't really understand what he meant.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's, and there's no, again, booty hole party.
There's no booty hole.
But you comfort yourself with it's booty hole party. This should be you.
Yeah. All it takes to sing like Adele is get fucked in the ass.
That's it. And yeah, then you that's all it takes. And then you can sing in perfect pitch live endlessly 4 nights a week. All he had to do was get to that party
and get fucked in the ass.
Yep.
And you're there.
And you, what's weird is a lot of times you get to write songs too. Fuck. I don't know what is in these dicks.
Just bring it.
Whoa.
Just bring a candle. should we do?
Yeah, last one.
All right, cool.
Hey, my favorite pod squad. What's up, Isha? This is kind of something I wrote into you guys about before when you talked about the Kirk Franklin thing, but something just popped up and I need you guys' advice on it. I spoke about how...
What the fuck the kind of podcast is this? When you talk about Kirk Franklin, I need your advice. Go ahead.
Just for context, remember if you...
Please.
Well, Kirk Franklin, remember when Kirk Franklin's... it was the situation where there was a whole family.
That
was,
yeah, when he found out his... Parents weren't his parents.
He found, yeah. So at this late age in his life, he found out the family that he knew wasn't his biological family, that whole situation. So similarly, that's what she's calling in about.
Gotcha.
So who I thought was my father in 2020, he wasn't. And then to find out my biological father actually passed away a year before finding out this information, right? Well, now we're in 2023. This whole entire time, I've never like gotten close with any of my father's kids. I tried, I reached out. It's just more of a Facebook or social media kind of relationship. Like they're kind of shying away from, you know, I guess wanting to talk to me further. Okay, fine, cool. But now I just saw that one of my dad's kids, which would be my sister, posted that her aunt passed away. And this particular aunt was my dad's sister. And the funeral is in New York where I am. I've never met anyone from my dad's side of the family, my biological father, that is. And now I'm wondering, should I pop up at this funeral? This is of my dad's sister to see if I can, I don't know, maybe get to know the family more, or should I just leave it alone and not go and just say, forget it. But I've never met anyone and they all don't live in New York. So I'm just trying to see what you guys would do in this situation. Thanks, y'all. Enjoy the rest of your week.
That was so confusing. It was directed by Christopher Nolan.
Great movie.
Well, look, I mean, Death at a Funeral is, I love the movie. I mean, so you might be willing to live a real episode of that.
I think before people ask questions or advice, they should say the question out loud three times to themselves.
Oh, they do.
So they realize how dumb it sounds sometimes. And no offense to this woman.
No, call it dumb, Rory.
No, no offense. No, offense. No, none at all.
No disrespect.
No, he's been meaning to say that on the podcast anyway, that everyone should
it's say their cilantro, questions though, out loud.
Yeah, 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 fuck.
How is this going to play out? You've never, these people have already shown you they don't particularly care to get to know you. You're going to show up at a funeral uninvited where they're grieving over a relative they knew.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me how that's going to play out. They're all going to stop, be like, oh shit, the sister we didn't know about.
Yeah.
At a funeral?
Yeah, but I mean, if you don't do it now, then when?
Don't.
What does that convo look like?
Ever? Don't ever just know who your family is?
Hey, I see you're grieving over this open casket.
Yeah.
Now let's address us not knowing each other and my father having a secret kid somewhere.
Well, I mean, you got family, like, you got all, like, the family is there. Like,
everyone's look, everyone's there.
Everyone's there. So you get that one opportunity.
You don't have to set out a like, group text. You
it's go, like going you to Target. Everybody, it's right here. Everything's
thank
here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Go to Target.
That's all. That's like the equivalent
the target of black funerals.
Exactly.
It's like the equivalent of like proposing at someone's wedding. Like you're going to show up to a funeral and be like, let's make this about me.
Or the Rock.
I mean, when she said, should I show up and just, and I thought, and start macing people? Fuck it. Why not? Have at it.
Sorry, everybody's already upset. On Facebook.
How much more upset could they be? Now's the time. Pounce.
It's a conversational piece.
Hopefully, we help that lady. I would say
no.
Yes, go. I would say go.
No.
Wait. No. Would you go
would
with
say
her?
Go?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it doesn't
matter. Because everybody's
but,
there.
You then we should go.
Right, but they don't. But to his point, like they don't. They're not. They don't. They're not interested in her. Somebody, I think Joe DeRosa did a joke about like his parents put up for adoption, and it was like, and somebody was like, "Have you tried to find them?" And he's like, "No, I got the message.
Yeah.
Pretty clearly. Yeah. Like it seems like maybe they got the message of don't come to the funeral."
I mean, I would say go fuck it, man.
They barely talk to her on Facebook now.
You get your one shot. It's like, you know, and you pay your respects to a relative. You maybe didn't know the relative, but you pay your respects. And if they accept you, cool. And if not, cool too. Fuck it.
And also, what are you going to? Yeah, I don't. But you do hear those stories of like, I feel like 80% of the time it is pretty positive. We're like, no, I have a sister I didn't know I had. Or,
yeah.
So we'll say.
I'll say, I mean, give us a call back and let us know if you went or you didn't go.
Well, how about the repass?
I feel like that's worse, though.
At least it's more social.
Because people are drunk at the repass.
Way better than the open casket.
Yeah, but
the repass?
Yeah, so after the funeral, when they have, like, you know, they go to somebody's house or a location where there's food.
Oh, I've heard that as a wake.
Irish wake, yeah. More or less, is what
Yeah.
Great.
Black people call it a repass. Yeah. We call it Irish.
We call it a wake, too, but repass,
yeah. Well, Irish wake is, there's, like, a party, people drinking shit.
Yeah.
Because Irish.
Well, Irish drink anywhere. It doesn't have to be a wake.
Yeah, but what a better place than a funeral.
Yeah.
Rory just drinks when he wakes.
Yeah.
Wake him. Should be a rapper.
Yeah.
It's good on Tandra.
Well, hopefully she sends us another call back and let us know if she went or she. Hopefully she went and it was a fucking chaos. That would be great. Great content.
Film it.
Yeah,
we'll go. Please,
we're a body cam.
Because I mean, we're strangers too.
We'll reimburse you.
Yeah,
part of the Patreon fee.
1 month free if you go crash that funeral.
We're a body cam doing a funeral that no one wants you to come to.
Having a body cam at a funeral would be sick.
With bear mace. That POV.
Yeah. Mason people. Surprise, motherfucker.
Hey, man. Second Amendment. Mm. This was fun. Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, really appreciate it.
Yeah,
my first time meeting you. Obviously, I've been a fan of yours for years. Love your work. Love what you do. I'm mad we didn't get half-baked too, but that's neither here nor there. Whatever.
I have nothing to do with it. I mean, like, nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with part two not happening.
Did it not happen?
Half baked too? No.
Is there a half baked?
No, I think they made one. What? Like a year ago.
No, I see. No.
With Jack Harlow and DC Young Fly?
I mean, it's
close.
They did
make one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who, this movie aside, who would you want to play? Because now we're in the era of remakes. Good Bird 2 is coming out.
I don't know.
Who would you want to play your.
Nothing.
Nobody.
Don't make it.
No, but your specific role in the burger spot.
Oh, the burger game. yeah, it's so funny. Oh, I had a good Beyonce story that I forgot. I saw Jay-Z at a restaurant in LA and I just like went up and said what's up to him. Mm-hmm. And I was walking away. He's like, yo, man, you ain't see my wife? And Beyonce was sitting next to him. I was like, oh, hi. But I just didn't. I was just looking at, and then
Jay, yeah.
I didn't want to be like, there's no good Beyonce way to play
like, that's
it.
Also like his wife.
Hey, miss. Yeah.
Let me upgrade
Let
you.
Me get you good on entrees, miss. all right, great job, guys. What a time.
Imagine telling Beyonce at dinner, your man doesn't let you have friends?
Yeah, I mean.
That wouldn't go well.
Yeah, no.
I get it, you're married, but you can't have friends?
Neil, thank you, man.
Very
appreciate it. Pleasure having
God
you.
God bless.
No, Warrior, no.